do you balance doing that when you had cameras inside the house and then balance being a mommy, of course?
And working. You know, I work a lot. So, you know, I don't know. I do it some days really well and some days really poorly.
Lisa Ann Walter in for Bill Carroll on KFIM 640, more stimulating talk radio. Pardon me, that was a portion of a red carpet interview with Real Housewife of Beverly Hills, Taylor Armstrong, who was married to Russell Armstrong. They were in the process of divorcing. She had filed last month, and sadly, he committed suicide, and his body was found yesterday. 47-year-old Russell Armstrong was despondent for a number of reasons. There was big pressure for him to maintain the lifestyle to which his family was accustomed, and obviously in these very dicey financial times, he was struggling in that area. He'd left no note, so you know, we're conjecturing, obviously, that all of these troubles that were befalling him had to do with being so public with his troubles. Now, we're going to have in a moment, because why people are fascinated about this case is because, as we've seen in other Real Housewives shows, which if you're not a fan, you probably have heard of it, whether you want to or not, because it's everywhere. They've got one in every city, practically, these days. And the Real Housewives series, they've done it in D.C., in Miami, in New York, in Jersey, famously, as I've said, when they have trauma and toil and troubles, they usually flip tables and scream. And I just call that Easter at my house with my family full of strunzes, crazy Italians in Jersey and New York. But people are fascinated because it's that look behind the curtain. The grass is always greener. Look what happens with the soap opera that happens with these rich, beautiful people. And look, they're just like us, or they're much crazier than us. I'm better off. And what people tend to forget is that reality television is produced. The person who's the bad guy, the person who's the villain, it may not be so much of a villain. Nobody thinks of themselves as a villain. That's an editor doing it, and great music underneath. That is soap opera. That's a lot cheaper to produce because it doesn't need writers or actors. So when we follow these soap operas, the people that are in the middle of their drama, and sometimes tragedy, they're losing their house, they're having marital problems, and the whole world is entertained by it. They're actually suffering. They're not actors on CSI who are doing a death scene, and at the end of the day, when they call rap, gets up, washes the squib blood off, you know, takes a shower and goes home to his happy family. These are real people living in these situations, and I think people are starting to look at what the ramifications are. And sometimes this stuff is fun and games. Obviously, I produce reality television, as I said yesterday. I created a show called Dance Your Ass Off. It's in more than 70 countries around the world. It's a dance weight loss show, and we celebrate the people. We don't make fun of them, and they have great results, and they lose weight, and they're happy. Other reality programming is sometimes predicated on people's misfortunes, and that's when it starts to get scary. On the line with us is Ron Richards, who's the attorney for Russell Armstrong and has done some interviews with different outlets. And I've been very interested to hear his thoughts on what happened so we can all get some insight. Ron, are you there, sir?
Yeah, good afternoon. It's Ronald Richards. How are you doing?
Hi, Ronald. This is Lisa Ann Walter. Thanks for joining us today.
You're welcome. Thank you.
I have been really very saddened by the news of your client, and I assume he's also a friend of yours, on his passing. I mean, it's just tragic.
Yes, it's very sad when something that starts out as looks like it could be fun and then turns into a horrible disaster.
And, you know, I'm assuming, because I know some people who are involved in these series, and, you know, friends with peripheral friends with some, and actually a good friend of one of the people, not on this show, not on the Beverly Hills, but on other shows. And I know that the intention is always, oh, look, we could have fun because me and my girlfriends have fun together anyway, and it's just following our crazy antics. But obviously, people need a little bit more than let's watch them go shopping or set up their charity event. There needs to be real story for people to maintain an interest, and it's seeming to escalate on many of these shows. And it depends on the tone. This one can get very... there's a lot of fighting that happens when they say, oh, look, it's a group of women together. So, of course, there's going to be cattiness and there's going to be one-upmanship. On some of the other shows, it's just stupid fun like Jersey Shore. I mean, like them or not like them, it just seems to be stupid fun. On this one, it seems like it can get ugly. Was your friend Russell and your client, was he concerned about joining into this nuttiness?
Well, he was advised of the risk before he decided to participate, but I don't think that he really appreciated what could happen when the storyline starts to focus on a divisive portion of his marriage.
Right, and as you know, anybody who's following this genre or and has a little bit of has seen the man behind the curtain. There is no wizard. There is a guy in an editing booth pressing buttons and putting music under it and producers that create story. So maybe what's going on, or it may be completely fabricated. But how did she... I'm assuming that it was her idea and that she talked him into it. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's funny that I just said this on TV that it was her... She wanted to do it, and he supported her, and a blogger thought that I was blaming her for his suicide, which is absolutely ridiculous. I'm just suggesting that when one spouse is going to be the character and the other spouse is the...
More passive.
Yeah, I mean, he's supporting, obviously, the
paid
talent.
Did she want to be... I'm sorry to stop you, but I'm always interested in the motives behind people who agree to these things. Did she come to L.A., or did she want to be an actress? Was that her goal?
Well, I mean, I don't think... No, I mean, a lot of people sometimes think that they're actors and they really don't have a lot of talent, but L.A. is full of people that like that. A lot of them are in the restaurant services business.
Well, yeah, you're talking my language. I call it the land where prom queens go to die. And, you know, not everybody makes it just because they're the prettiest girl from their hometown.
Usually the prettiest ones don't get the work.
That's exactly right, because there's a million of them.
Yeah, so these shows take people that were never going to be famous, and then they make them famous,
right,
based
and they're
on
not,
a fictitious foundation. Like
and they're not prepared. Right. And is she? But was that her initial... Why did she want to be in front of the camera is my question to you. Did she want to be an actress initially?
The problem I have with the question is, I'm going to answer it. It's just that I want to make sure that your audience understands they're not going in front of the camera because they really... could possibly believe they're talented actors. They are going in front of the camera because they're at a certain stage in their life where being famous seems to be a good transition, because they're sort of in an age in their life where this is something that they think is important.
Yes, Mr. Richards, I will make that both afterwards. I just don't want to take up your time making that point. But having lived inside of actually working as an actress and continue to, and being of, as you delicately putting it, a certain age in this town, I understand the distinction, and we'll make sure my audience does. It's not to say that she had no talent and this was her only way to get FaceTime in front of a camera. That's not my point. It's just what inspires people to sort of turn their life over to being in the fishbowl like this. You really sort of lose control.
What inspires people to shoot their lips full of Restylane and get a lot of work done on their faces?
I mean,
I think, you know, it's the same sort of... I can't figure out what motivates them to do this show, except that they enjoy the attention. And
right.
Then Russell's view was this would hopefully turn into some brand marketing, and he worked very hard and got her lined up with a bunch of brand deals where she could maybe endorse some products
right.
and, you know, become a Kardashian.
And that's a really smart way to go. I mean, that's reasonable. You know, that is exactly what happens. And that was his business. There was obviously the financial issues that are going on for everybody these days.
Mm-hmm.
Was she supportive of him as things started to get, go wrong in terms of his finances, or she just wanted to keep spending?
Well, it's not spending for the sake of spending. It's she wanted to stay on the show because she loved the show, and that's the most important thing in her life outside of her child is the show.
Uh-huh.
Because and unfortunately, maybe only 1 out of 1,000 reality TV actors ever really make any money after the show's over.
Right.
I mean, most of them just get the benefit of that appearance. But she wanted to keep the game going, and Russell wanted to keep the marriage going. So if he did anything that would interfere with financing this fictitious lifestyle, then she would leave him.
She would get, he understood that. Whether she said it or not, she was unhappy if things weren't supporting that illusion.
Well, I unequivocally told him it would be like taking the heroin away from the addict. If you start to screw around with someone's cases,
right.
I mean, someone's shows and their and what they're doing on TV, and they're already addicted to it. They'll you know, sell you down the river. It's just when people become addicted to television, they don't want to hear about someone turning them off the air.
Right, exactly. And he seemingly was doing everything he could, even as things were troubling him financially and within the marriage. He continued to help her by this very elaborate children's party that they threw for their daughter for $60,000, and, you know, taking the pictures in front of the jet. I mean, I saw a guy, it seemed to me, that was bending over backwards trying to make his wife happy. That's what it looked like. And yet we have these allegations of abuse. Was that just her trying to put out there in People magazine or wherever she was talking about this, some sort of, well, this is why I'm
leaving
him?
Well, that's funny, because the same blogger criticized me because I used the words that there was a little shoving. Grabbing was the word I used. But the thing is, she was drinking a lot with him on the road and at the Super Bowl and different places. And when people drink a lot as a couple, sometimes the other couple, whichever one it is, kind of has to grab them and calm them down. That's the type of touching that was going on, where you're sort of telling your spouse, hey, you got to calm down. You're too drunk. Stop. And then they cut down on their drinking, and those problems went away. There's never been a complaint filed by Taylor that there was any criminal domestic abuse where, you know, somehow that the police had to be called, or somehow that she subverted a legitimate claim of battery. But to suggest that married people that drink together never have a situation where one touches the
right.
other, that's kind of silly, because the remedy is to drink less.
Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, to suggest that married couples don't ever grab each other or make any kind of physical move is ridiculous, too.
Yeah, well,
you
would be shocked over the last 48 hours how many people would look dumbfounded when I would make that claim. But, I mean, then I would just say they're covering up reality.
Of course they are. That's not how humans behave. When people get heated and there's a child and people break up, things happen.
I mean, if one spouse is breaking objects in the
right.
house and throwing things at you, it's very conceivable the other's going to walk over and grab them and kind of put them down on the couch and tell them to slow down here.
Right, exactly.
That's not domestic abuse either.
No, no, and I don't think any reasonable person would think that. I welcome you to come back anytime you want to have a forum. Ronald Richards is the attorney for Russell Armstrong, who sadly committed suicide. My condolences to you and his child. It's very, very sad. But thank you so much for joining us today and giving us some clarity.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me. Bye.
Thank you, sir. That was Ronald Richards. When we come back, we'll talk more about this on KFI AM 640. More stimulating talk radio. Lisa Ann Walter in for Bill Carroll.
KFI AM 640. More stimulating talk radio.
Yeah. Lisa Ann Walter in for Bill Carroll on KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio. We just got off the phone with Ronald Richards, who is the attorney for Russell Armstrong, 47 years old, found dead of an apparent suicide yesterday, with left no note, but he did leave behind a five-year-old daughter, and it's all very sad. His wife was Real Housewife of Beverly Hills, Taylor Armstrong, and they've been going through a messy split up. I guess they've been having problems over the last year or so as she chased the fame dream, and he tried to support that habit. It's very, very expensive when it's being a real housewife that you're trying to keeping up with the Maloofs. Wasn't there a show called Keeping Up with the Maloofs? I'm not just making that up, right? That's what I thought. Something like that. In any case, we don't all have Maloof money. Even if you live in Beverly Hills, you don't have Maloof money. They own casinos and whatnot in Vegas. So Ronald Richards, who was telling us a little bit about the behind the scenes and what his friend and client was going through, was giving us just a little insight, how he felt about trying to basically make his wife happy. Now, if you look at a picture of these two, this is what I see. Even if you don't follow the show, and I'm not a Real Housewife franchise devotee, I'm not addicted. Occasionally I'll watch the Jersey ones because they remind me of being home. It's like watching my cousins. So, but the other ones, whatever, it's a bunch of rich people or people who aren't really rich, pretending to be rich. One of the interesting things about, quote, reality television, it's way less real than most people in, you know, the middle of the country understand. They think that evil guy on their reality show that they love is really evil. And not just that, you know, this is soap opera that does not employ writers or actors. And people get assigned a role in a show. In every piece, production, play, there's got to be a bad guy. There's got to be a protagonist. There's got to be an antagonist. There's got to be somebody that you love and hate. And in this case, their marriage, or the demise of their marriage, became a big story, and he could not make her happy. And look at her. The guy waited till he was 40-something to get married to what was his trophy wife, and he didn't want to lose her. So he literally killed himself trying to make her happy. And I know people are like, oh, well, abuse and this and that. Well, that's her story, and she's left living, so she gets the last say. We'll talk more about this when we come back. And also, Steve Gregory is up next. He was at the Fullerton City Council meeting last night, and he's going to report in on what was happening there. We're all very interested to hear about what they voted and whether or not they've finally got an independent reviewer. They do. All that and more when we come back on KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio, after we hear Chris Lane in the news.
Police in Tampa, Florida say...
In for Bill Carroll on KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio. By the way, at 12:50, we just learned some breaking news on the story that we've been, well, not really breaking news, a new spin. A whole new can of worms opened on this Russell Armstrong issue that should be pretty interesting as it develops, but we'll talk about that more later, because on the line with us right now is Steve Gregory, who's going to talk to us about the town meeting last night, the city council meeting in Fullerton, and their brand new independent reviewer. Hi, Steve.
Hey, Lisa, I just want to stop real quick and tell you we do have breaking news on the story.
Oh, we do.
I literally just got off the phone with Ron Thomas, the father of Kelly Thomas, the young man that was beaten by the six officers down there. And he tells me he had a private one-on-one meeting with Mayor Richard Jones this morning at 9. This is the first time in 6 weeks since this event took place that the mayors met one-on-one. And they actually exchanged some pretty heated words last night at the meeting. But the result of the meeting, apparently the mayor felt like resigning last night and has had enough. And apparently he is preparing an exit strategy. This is per Ron Thomas. He's preparing now to figure out a way to gracefully bow out as mayor of Fullerton, and that he's basically had enough of this. So we'll keep you posted on that. I didn't have much time to go into detail because this hit, but that's pretty big news.
Yeah, that's huge. Ron Thomas, the sentence that I read that really resonated with me was when Ron Thomas last night addressed the city council, Fullerton residents had a chance to voice their feelings and opinions in front of the council, and he said to the mayor, Richard Jones, "I came here to offer you an olive branch, but then you open your mouth and I wanted to grab a baseball bat. You need to listen to what is going on in your city." And then I read that they did shake hands later, and that's where he agreed to the one-on-one.
I actually took a picture of that handshake and tweeted it last night. In addition to that, what you didn't hear, apparently, or didn't see in the copy there, is what the mayor muttered after Ron Thomas says, "Every time you open your mouth, I want to grab a bat." And the mayor mutters, and I have it on tape, and I didn't realize we were going to go this direction, or I would have grabbed it, but he says, "Oh, so you're turning to violence now."
Oh, come on.
And then the crowd just, I mean, this thing last night was just absolutely a free-for-all in the very beginning. In fact, I'm going to play you right off the bat here. This is how the tenor of it started. The mayor was giving kind of an update of the investigation and what's been going on, and then these were his instructions for the public comment period last night.
Now, before we do this, I just want everybody to know we have not been able to do a lot of the business the city needs to have accomplished. Some of it has backed up 6 weeks. So we will start with public comments, but if it goes on too long, we will go ahead and get things done that have to be done for the city, and then have public comments at the completion of the business of the city. Okay? Go ahead and remember, your public comments are limited to 3 minutes.
I'm not going to be first, Mr. Mayor.
I'm sorry?
I said I'm not going to be first. I'm Ron Thomas for the record. But perhaps next time your officers won't murder my son and we won't take up your precious time.
So that was sort of how the tenor of the night started out. Then a couple speakers in, someone was wrapping up their presentation and they were going over time and the mayor was attempting to move them on and get them to complete, and then the crowd didn't really like that. How long is a recess? At this point, they get up and walk out.
I read
all the
that.
Council members.
Yeah.
So you get the general idea there.
Yeah, that's the sound right before they get the pitchforks and the torches.
Right. Well, then here's how the mayor wraps that up. They come back. All but two council members leave the dais, and this is how he comes back, and then this is his next statement.
Please let them speak. Otherwise, if we can't let the individual speak, we're not going to get anywhere, and we'll have to stop the public comments. We want you all to have an opportunity to speak, even though you're not very complimentary to us.
Did you catch that?
Yeah, I caught it. Why? I mean, why is he spanking people? That's just stupid.
Well, here's a guy that summarized it when he got to come up and speak a couple minutes later. He kind of summarized it.
That stunt you guys pulled a few minutes ago, that's tantamount to taking your ball and going home.
Exactly.
What are you, six?
Exactly.
If you can't take the heat from the public, do not run for office. And I see you all sitting there taking all of our comments, taking all of our claps. And you're going to go home, eat a nice dinner, and Kelly Thomas is still going to be dead.
He's absolutely right. And that sentence that I read was one that resonated with me as well. If you can't take the heat, don't run for public office. Exactly right. It sounds to me in every step of the way that what they're doing is attempting to placate an angry public while pretty much ignoring what they're really upset about. Just like, if we just get through this, we can, I mean, that's just on Mayor Jones' part to say, hurry up so we can get back to the business of running the city is ridiculous. This is the fire.
Well, there was one woman last night, and it caught everyone off guard because everyone that's gone up there has pretty much slammed the mayor, the council, the police department, everyone else involved in this and their way of handling it. But this one woman, and she spoke for her 3 minutes, but I've grabbed a clip from here, and it really caught people off guard.
I'm here tonight to tell you that I now support all three of you. I appreciate that you have stayed neutral, that you've stayed impartial, and that you are waiting, you know, for the legal process to take place.
She's talking about the three council members.
Right.
I am very disappointed and outraged by Councilpersons Whitaker and Quirk Silva for your actions and for your not letting the legal process take place.
Oh, here.
Instead of waiting for the FBI and the district attorney's investigations to be completed before going public with your opinions, instead, you have bowed to Mr. Thomas, his followers, and Mr. Bushala.
And she's making reference to Tony Bushala, who funded the Fullerton Now website.
Well,
Friends of Fullerton, rather. I'm sorry.
You know, just as long as everybody plays nice. She sounds like a librarian. Thank you so much, Steve Gregory. That was the very, very volatile city council meeting last night where they voted to hire Michael Giannacco, the chief attorney for Los Angeles County office, to head the independent review. And we'll continue to follow this, I'm sure, with Steve Gregory's help. Thanks so much to Steve Gregory. Coming up next, Russell Armstrong's attorney, who we spoke with earlier, Ronald Richards, will rejoin us to address this latest bombshell, new claims targeting Russell Armstrong that will, I'm sure, shock you. My goodness gracious. On KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio, Lisa Ann Walter filling in for Bill Carroll.
Nobody cares about renewable energy, especially when it's a lot more expensive than the old-fashioned kind of energy. God, it's like that in diversity. Things that are talked about all day long in public that no normal person ever cares about, even for a minute.
John and Ken, today at 3.
KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio.
For Bill Carroll on KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio. As I mentioned before the break, there is a new wrinkle in this story on Russell Armstrong, who was a husband of one of the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, committed suicide yesterday at 47. And there have been all sorts of back and forth. She claims she was abused. There was obviously a financial situation going on with him as he lost money and continued to try to kill himself to make his wife happy and so that she would stay on the show and be competitive with the other housewives in terms of her spending and appearance and all of that. And this just in, this is per, quote, sources close to Taylor Armstrong, the housewife. Now they're saying that it his gay secrets were about to be exposed. I'm just going to preface this by saying I have a gay ex-husband. What they're basing it on, just quickly, before we're rejoined by Ronald Richards, who was Russell Armstrong's attorney and friend, is that she found a history of a gay website called AdamForAdam.com on his laptop. And according to her, he was spending a lot of time at the gym, but his body wasn't changing. So therefore, gay. Now, also, as the ex of someone who spent a lot of time at the gym, although his body looked like it, he was meeting a woman. Could have been a woman, and it could be that they are just saying all of this stuff in order to make him look more culpable after he commits suicide and he doesn't have any recourse because he's not alive. So outing someone after they're dead seems to be beyond the pale, especially when he has children, as far as I'm concerned. There's a book coming out, shocker, a book about all of these all this whole situation, and I'm wondering if they did the book deal last night. Maybe Ronald Richards can give us some insight about this. Hi, Mr. Richards. Thanks for coming back and talking to us. I appreciate you giving us so much of your time today.
Oh, no problem. Let me address these two topics. I don't believe there's any validity to the Radar Online story. It's an anonymous source. And it's sort of a silly kind of comment because, one, Russell wouldn't care if someone said he was gay. That's not something that people have seizures about. And,
right.
And there's nothing wrong with being gay. And the next thing is no one would buy a book to disclose that unbelievable, irrelevant piece of information. So that's why I don't believe the story.
Well, that's my feeling. The problem that I have with it is if it's not attributed to anybody specific, if they're not naming the source, and they're just trying to drum up interest so that they can maybe make a book deal, at the end of the day, it puts more attention on her, including, I mean, there were other allegations, too, besides the bisexuality, about what kind of sex he liked and S&M and all of this. And I can't help but feel that this isn't somebody that's purposefully leaking these items to sort of bolster her claim that she was not culpable in the split and that really there were these big problems that she didn't have anything to do with.
It's a sophomoric, for your readers, that means, you know, real juvenile or inexperienced attempt to try to undermine someone who was a good husband. He was very happy with the marriage, and they were married. Their marriage was fine until the show started, and the suggestion that he had a secret bisexual gay life with an anonymous source, I don't even, you know, other media outlets have asked me about that today. I don't give that very much credibility at all, and I wouldn't really respond to it. It's really just a silly allegation that will never be proven.
Of course not.
Yeah, I mean, what publisher would invest in a book about a husband on Beverly Hills Housewives? I mean, that's kind of ridiculous to think there's a market for that book. I would buy the book because I would be interested in the legal ramifications, and also just because I know Russell, but the average person on the street would not buy that book.
I agree with you, especially the way publishing is these days. It's not easy to get anybody to buy a book. But I am hearing you when you say you would be interested in getting it because of the legal ramifications. So anybody out there who may or may not be making these allegations for whatever purposes they have should be warned. I heard you, Mr. Ronald Richards.
Yeah, but by the way, I just want you to know the reason why there are legal ramifications, just so you understand, is not because the person is being accused of not being a heterosexual. That's not really the legal ramification. The legal ramification is more in that you're accusing him of being an adulterer, whether it's with a man or a woman, and that is an actionable defamation. And so,
in the state of California? I thought it wasn't.
No. That's, you're confusing two concepts. One concept of getting grounds for dissolution or divorce, adultery is not grounds. That's
right.
Correct. But if I accuse you of cheating on your husband and accuse you of infidelity, that is absolutely actionable against the accuser, you know, or for defamation. For slander.
I see. But not in terms of like getting alimony or in any kind of monetary.
No. I'm talking about a third party accusing either spouse
Okay.
of infidelity.
Okay.
That's a serious charge.
Exactly. I agree. You don't think that there is any validity, or you don't think that this was anything that she's doing in particular, then, is what you're saying?
Oh, well, I don't know if she's behind it. I mean, the story, though, hasn't garnered any traction because Radar, in an anonymous source, is not credible fact-finding. And so I think that, you know, just like they're publishing now statements on Radar about extenuated family members of Russell blaming Taylor for the suicide. I mean, that
you're talking equally about you're talking about his ex-wife supposedly said that.
Yeah, and also his stepbrother. Some, you know, I mean, look, anybody can call up a news organization if they want to reprint their statements. Then that's what they can do. But I'm just saying that that in reality, these aren't, you know, very credible claims. And so I just don't know how else to respond to them. I mean, anybody could say anything. But in reality, I don't think Taylor caused Russell to commit suicide. Russell committed suicide because he chose to commit suicide. You know, there's a lot of causes why people commit suicide, and we're never going to know because he didn't tell anybody.
Right, right. And so there you go. I mean, that's really what we wanted to hear from you. Thank you, Ronald Richards, again, for taking up more of your time today. This shouldn't matter one way or the other, but for any of this to be given any credibility or as if it matters, please, let's not go down that road, people. You know, it's sad enough as it is. We don't have to heap other garbage on top of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's very suspect that after he dies, now all of a sudden people are going to now label him some sort of twisted bisexual that has all sorts of abnormal
fetishy, right.
You know,
well, and that happens in divorce.
No, I mean, you could say that about anybody. Who defines normal in the city of Los Angeles? What is normal?
It's exactly what I said when I read the story, by the way, Mr. Richards. I said, and even so. But thank you for joining us. We've got to get to the news. I appreciate Ronald Richards, the attorney for Russell Armstrong, coming and joining us again. And, you know, seriously, it's bad enough when people divorce, but when someone commits suicide, to then start making all sorts of allegations, it's just ridiculous.